Adrian Hill, Reel 2.
And suddenly it came to me, this is one way out. And as it was a Douglas, I called it Douglas, I said, Douglas, there's a lot of activity at the point of that road, a lot of shells falling. I'm afraid, my dear, you've got to stand there and keep the line or keep the flag flying. And I said, I left it there. And I made my way back to Paris. We'd been pushed as far as that. Anyhow, second echelon was there. And it took me a long, long time, lorry hopping back. And when I did arrive, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the general, who had been really showing a good deal of paternal anxiety for my safety, came hurrying down from the billet where we were. Oh, I said, thank God, Hill, you're all right. I said, yes, sir, I'm all right, but I'm afraid the old bicycle. I hadn't to say anything more. He said, oh, don't worry about the bicycle, good God. So that was the end of that. And I went back to the car. I'm afraid it limited his, you know, appointments and lunches and things and friends. But it helped me to do the drawings that I naturally had to do and wanted to do. Because at that time, and towards the end of that period, I was officially told that all the other official war artists had been withdrawn but me. So it was up to me to... And I was only too pleased. I wasn't permitted to do any painting. It was just drawings, recordings that they wanted from me.
Major Beckles Wilson didn't stay with your section then. When the general was appointed as Inspector of Trophies?
No, he stayed on for a bit, but you know, you had to play second role. The limelight was switched onto the general, and Major Beckles Wilson had to be the star turn. He did, I think, stay about 2 or 3 months, and then he went off to the Far East to do his act there. And I said, it was an act, I can assure you.
Did he write much, actually? Because there was a Canadian War Records Department, which Beaverbrook was had responsibility for, which did have its headquarters, I think, in Kassel during the war. But possibly Beckles-Wilson's activities, as far as you knew, were mostly collecting things.
Yes, I can only tell you, going through my letters, I put in one of them, BW is gone, thank God.
Yes. And you find it more congenial to work for General Donald?
Yes. He knew nothing at all about art. But when he sent me, say, to stay with General Pinney, who was a wonderful friend to me and a wonderful soldier, and I stayed with him for a week in his dugout. It was the nearest that the Germans had got to Ypres, and he had sublime faith, which he pervaded to all of us. And he used to put on carpet slippers at dinner in this deep dugout. He said the Germans wouldn't have the nerve to disturb me when I'm wearing my carpet slippers.
Yes.
And I said he was wonderful with me in that he'd take me out, and on one occasion, I had to lend him my belt because he'd forgotten it, and he always was a soldier in that way, spit and polish a bit. And once he left me with his own particular runner, who was a Scot, and that Scot had to trail around with me wherever I went. And I said he was a good, obedient dog. Almost I had to say heel, and he came. But of all the idiotic things that he's ever asked to do was to go out with this silly young chap making drawings of impossible places and impossible positions. And I knew that it was going to be a story when he got home.
Yes. You did quite a number of drawings for individuals, I suppose.
Yes.
General Donald or someone would ask you to do a drawing of a particular subject.
Yes, yes. I mentioned in many letters, and they seemed to be parts, they didn't mind me mention names, or by that time, of course, I was using what all officers could do with the green envelope. But General Pinney stands out, and General Plummer, I think it was, and General Byng.
Oh, yes, General Byng. We acquired a portrait of General Byng,
yes,
which surprisingly was painted by Frank Salisbury, who was at Albert for a very short period of time. And this sketch, it's a rather curiosity.
Yes.
It was painted by Salisbury in 20 minutes, he wrote on the back, before Asquith turned up and he had to stop painting. But General Byng you knew?
Yes, indeed. He was a charming fellow, and I did a drawing especially for him, which I suppose is still in possession of the family, because we seem to be talking about the late lamented in so many cases. And then that is where so many of the drawings that I did never got back to the place they were intended, I think, because they'd say, will you do a drawing, or will you do a copy, or will you come out with me, look at this, will you do this? And I was only too pleased to, because they would stand behind me and say, I don't know how you do it.
That's very fascinating. Yes, we've just recently sent an artist to Northern Ireland, and he started with a commission from us, and he has acquired now commissions from regiment after regiment.
Yes,
exactly your experience in France. People would ask him, couldn't you do me a version of that, or couldn't I buy that drawing and then do another one for the museum? Or, in this case, we had the complete choice of the first time he went, and then subsequently he was freer to take commissions or whatever he wished to do.
What a curious thing that is, Joseph, isn't it, to think that it's all happening, we hope to God, a smaller way, but there's the special war artist on the front that's at war with itself.
Yes, we can't say he's a war artist.
Well, he is in a way. Yes, he's recording things which are warlike.
Oh, quite, yes.
They're not real, worse than war in a way.
Yes, very disturbing and unhappy experience. But the drawings that are in private possession, would there be many of them, 50 or so, do you think, as many as that?
I wouldn't know. I just wouldn't know. They're constantly coming up. And I always think, well, fine, because I have rejoined my old regiment as a veteran. Now, this came about because one of our VCs, who lives quite close, and at the engagement where he won his honour, I was there, and not doing anything heroic, but at the bottom of the trench, I should think, terrified. But so we had an anniversary lunch, not a dinner, because we were all over 70, I should imagine, and there were 65 of us. And there I met people who could tell me, quite honestly, we love the picture, we've got it framed over our... And I thought, what picture was that? And there happened to be one, I suppose, that they'd say, can I have it?
Yes.
And so I'm only delighted that there are pictures of mine that do give pleasure, nostalgic pleasure, of course. I thought that they have a sort of a sinister charm for me. But I can't think of them decorating a room exactly.
No.
It's just sentimental. We were there together. We were in the thick of it, and we used to look out at that, and my goodness me, well, there it is. And
yes.
I've only got to look at it, and I'm back there. That kind of...
That's right,
the attribute.
Well, my father was in the First World War, and he had one or two mementos.
Yes.
For example. He had a picture, and not alas of yours, I wish it had been. And the paintings and the drawings you did then in France, they're here, they're in the in this country, at the museum, in the Honorable Artillery Company, in private hands. Quite a lot of them were reproduced, I suppose.
Yes, they were. And how that came about, I really don't know. I suppose that as they came over to, as it was then still, the National War Museum. No, I think it had changed the Imperial War Museum. Possibly they had editors round to say, have you got anything back from the front that would be interesting to us? I can only imagine that it happened that way. It was officially because the Sphere and the Illustrated London News and other papers like that would often have one of my drawings in it, sometimes from the man who actually saw and things like that.
Yes. I think Yockney probably had something to do with that because he was on the staff and was connected with a number of newspapers and was dealing for the Ministry of Information with
yes.
with publicity.
Yes, as a matter of fact, he ministry. Was on the Goupil Galleries Committee, wasn't he, Joseph?
I think he was.
He was a sort of an art dealer.
Yes, that's right. Yes. He during the war, it seems that he was in the Ministry of Information. Whether he retained commercial connections as well, I don't know.
No.
But then he stayed in the museum for, I think, 2 or 3 years after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a reduction in staff. Through, mm-hmm. The Geddes Acts came, and he then... lost his job, and Blakely, Ernest Blakely, who had previously been a more junior member of the staff in the museum, took over the art department and the other, continued with the other work he'd been doing on maps and that sort of thing. But you didn't deal directly with Yockney, you dealt...
No, I never met Yockney, but I did meet Blakely.
Yes.
Ernest, wasn't he?
Ernest Blakely, yes, that's right.
I looked him up, hopefully... in a 62 edition of Who's Who, but as he wasn't there, I take it he's departed now.
Yes, his widow came to the museum about a year or so ago and is still interested in the collections. Yeah. We have one or two of his drawings as well. He drew both in France and he drew interiors of the museum as it was displayed in the 1920s. But of course you must have seen the museum's collection displayed both at the Academy and at the Crystal Palace.
No, neither at the Crystal Palace or the National Gallery. No, I can only remember on one occasion you were the second Joseph who said you'll be glad to know that I'm arranging a show of your pictures. And I said I'd never seen so many together in the gallery before in England. And I said, I take it you were instrumental in running this travelling show. Because he came down to Portsmouth and they asked me whether they got the pictures there in their gallery. I think it was Portsmouth. They would put it on television.
Yes.
And I said, Martin Munkester did the inquiring, like you're inquiring here, rather. And a lot of my pictures there that I hadn't seen since they were done.
Yes.
And sometimes, especially this last time, when you were good enough to assemble this exhibition, I was really rather, in a way, flattered that I was rather pleased with some of them. I thought, well, they're not too bad, you know.
Not at all. But they're very, very valuable and most interesting drawings.
I think.
Perhaps you're more critical of them now, looking back on them.
Well, I wasn't fully experienced, of course, but I did feel always a little bit of a chip that they didn't allow me to paint. In fact, they told me they didn't like my paintings. I did two specimens, and it was Yockney who told me that the committee didn't want any more, or that I should stick to drawing. And I wrote back, this is quoting from my letter, although I haven't mounted the letter in front of me, and I said, yes, of course I'll continue the drawings. But my God, I'll sell the damn thing. Or something like that. that should be really off the record, ought it? Because I did give a lot away. But I did feel that the bulk of work that's at the museum now is wonderful in that they've got the chaps who were allowed to paint, and they crystallise their experiences and were painting at ease, in I should say, not in a trench. No, nobody, as far as I know, did a painting in a trench in the war.
No, I don't think anyone did a painting. No.
I said if they did, it was well back, and in 1919.
Yes.
I should imagine. The end of 1918.
Yes.
And 1919, I believe Orpen did a lot of paintings out there.
Yes.
But that was a different thing to making records on the spot.
Yes.